Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley.
We have started a series on the names of God. Now, this has come from a deep place of prayer, seeking and waiting upon God. And God has revealed to us quite a few things that we'll be unpacking in the next few weeks. A few of the people will be bringing this message so that God can reveal himself to us. But I want to first ask you a question. What is in a name? What is in a name? For example, your name. One of the hardest times I've ever had in parenting was to decide the names of our children. And I would say this, Emma would say no, she would say this, and I would say no. And we got into this ping pong, and the whole, you know, shebang around naming kids. Eventually, we settled on the names because of their meanings. What is the meaning of your name? But then ask the person sitting next to you, do you know the meaning of your name? Names are important. In the Bible, we find God naming people. We find God changing the names of people. We find God renaming places and renaming people. And this is important. But before I go into the Word of God, I've got a few things that I want to share with you here that are quite important. Now, I was laughing when we started because I spoke to our sister Karen and her sister, and she asked me, who are you? And it reminded me of some films I've watched. I don't know if you know the film by Denzel Washington, The Equalizer. Equalizer 1, 2, and 3. And every time he shows up where only he can do what he can do, the question he gets asked is, who are you? This confidence, this audacity, this skill, who are you? Or Taken, have you watched Taken? Taken 1, 2, 3. Liam Neeson, you know what he says on the phone? I will find you. And all the others. But every time he shows up, the question he's asked is, who are you? Steve, give me the slide on James Bond. James Bond. See how he introduces himself? Bond. James Bond. My name is Bond. James Bond. And this, it's his signature. It's an introduction that is associated with his suave character, with his skill. And when he is meeting somebody new, he introduces the mystery of this spy, the mystic of this spy. And he says, my name is Bond, and not just any other Bond, I am James Bond. And then when he introduces, you know what is coming your way. So the name creates an aspect of identity and expectation. Now, as I did some digging around, and I came up with some interesting facts. The year 2024, according to the Office of National Statistics in the UK, as reported by BBC, don't go to the next slide yet, don't go. Who will hazard a guess and tell me the most popular boy's name in the UK? 2024. Harry. Mohammed, James. Okay. What about girl's name? Most popular girl's name? Olivia. Charlotte. All right, Steve, can you have the slide? All right. Now, Mohammed and Olivia are the top names in 2024. And actually for Mohammed, it was the second year in a row. But for Olivia, Olivia and Amelia have ping-ponged for the past, I think, 2.5 years. So Mohammed was the first or the most popular name with 5,721 babies given that name. And this is for the second year in a row. 2,761 babies in England and Wales were named Olivia. What you do with these statistics is entirely up to you. But I want to say this, something very interesting I noted when I was doing a little bit of research is that every decade there is a name that is most popular and liked by the generations. And from history, it appears that the name that has the longest standing record of being most popular for women, it's usually actually Margaret. And for men, it's, John. Surprising. And you've had decades, for example, late Gen X and millennials, the most popular name was Sarah. And then after Sarah, I think every other girl who was named after that was Louise, or they had the name Louise as their middle name. Interesting statistics. But one more. If you ever decide to go to Iceland and to raise or to give birth to a child in Iceland, there is something very interesting. In Iceland, the government has a naming committee that maintains an official register of all the approved names. That is to say that the name you're going to give to your child has to be in that register. If you decide to give them a name that is not in that register, then you have to apply to the government. And the government will either give you permission or deny you your right to name that child that name. That's quite interesting. And this began in 1991, all in the bid to preserve the country's language and culture. And also, the name has to be within the Icelandic language to make it easier for them to write and to pronounce. Interesting. And I was having a conversation with Lumi, allow me to say this, and we were saying, if you decide to go there and to name your child your African, your Nigerian name, then you've got to apply it to the government. And if the government says no, your hands are tied. It has to be an Icelandic name. Interesting statistics. So then the question becomes one of, if names are this significant for us, how much more when God introduces his name? And this morning we've sung four songs, but two songs were very strong on the name of Jesus. Your name is power, your name is might. We've sung all that. And then we've also said that Jesus, we're going to declare your name, Jesus in the mountains, Jesus in the valleys, Jesus in the streets. Jesus, speak the holy name of Jesus. What is so important about Jesus' name? Isaiah 43 and verse 1. Jesus, and the Bible says, God says, I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. So therefore then, this morning, I want to encourage us that if God knows us by our names, how much more us knowing him by his name? And I'm introducing a series that we are calling The Names of God. So today is just an introduction. We're going to start unpacking these next week. And in the Bible, we find that God reveals himself to us through his many names. Research shows that there are over 100 names of God. But God, in his so amazingly complex nature and so awesome, we find that he reveals himself to us so that we can understand and know a nature and a character that he wants to reveal to us in our lives. And when we study these names, we begin to get a revelation of who God is, which then enables us to relate with him. During worship, or after worship this morning, our sister Elsie was saying that the 24 elders and the creatures in heaven are always bowing down before God, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And one time I remember hearing a preacher saying, I wonder, since eternity to eternity, why do these angels always say, holy, holy, holy? They never get tired. And this preacher said that God gave him a revelation that it is the nature and the name of God. That when they bow down before God, when they rise up again, they see a new nature of God and they say, you are holy. And they've been doing that since eternity. They're doing that right now. They will continue doing that forever and ever. Praise the name of Jesus. So therefore then, why does God reveal his name? Why does God want us to know his names? I will be interchanging name and names as I go along. Number one, it is because God wants us to know his nature and his character. I don't believe that there is anyone present in this world today that can comfortably and confidently say that I know all about God. That I know God completely. because we cannot do that. Our finite minds cannot fully comprehend the infinite God. So God wants us to know his nature and his character. And our perception of God significantly influences our ability to connect with him and the depths to which we can truly know him. God challenges the nation of Israel and he asks them through Prophet Jeremiah, to whom will you liken me? Because he understood from his dealing with his people that the people were limiting God, they were limiting his power, they were limiting his operation because they compared him with other pagan gods and other Babylonian gods. And he said, who are you going to liken me to? Who are you going to liken my power to? And he begins to reveal his nature and his character so that they might know who he is. There is an understanding of God and a revelation of who he is that can only come by understanding his names. And in the Bible, there are so many names of God that are used to reveal his attributes, such as his love, his power, his might, his wisdom, his mercies, his grace, all the things about God. There is a name that can reveal who he is to us. And we shall be looking at this in the next few weeks. Proverbs 18 and verse 10. The Bible says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Psalm 9:10 says, those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. These verses are showing us that when we know the nature and the character of God, then we are able to anchor our trust and obedience on who he is. Look at Psalm 9:10. Those who know your name trust in you. Therefore, it means there is a level of trust that you can give to God. There is a level of trust that you can have for God because he has revealed himself to you. That makes you know he is dependable. He is reliable. I remember, I don't know if there's any scouts here, anyone who's a scout. When I was a scout many years ago, we used to go through something called, is it called investiture? It's been a while, almost 30 years since I was lastly active as a scout. And we used to get invested as a scout. Welcome to the Brotherhood of Scout. And you always used to be introduced by somebody to the troop leader. And then as they introduce you, they would confidently tell whoever is investing you into the scouts, brotherhood or whatever it's called. And based on that, then they would welcome you. And I remember in our investiture, we used to say that so-and-so can be depended upon to be trustworthy and honest. And based on my words, then whoever is doing the investiture would invest that person into the scouts community. In other words, based on my word of who they are, they could be trusted by the scouts movement. And that is what happens. Sometimes we are not able to fully trust God because we limit who he is in our lives. But when he reveals himself to us, he reveals his nature to us, when we see a dimension and a perspective of God to us, then we can put our trust in him. I will give you an example. Bible says that Abraham and Isaac go onto the mountain to sacrifice, but they have no lamb for sacrifice. And Isaac asks his daddy, Dad, what are we going to offer to the Lord? And Abraham says a statement of faith that the Lord shall provide for himself a lamb. Anyway, they go up the mountain and Isaac is laid on the altar. Abraham gets a hold of the knife. He's just about to sacrifice the son. And God says, hold it. Don't do it. And he opened his eyes. And in a thicket just nearby there was a ram caught in the thicket. And they got the ram and they sacrificed. Now, guess what happened? God revealed himself to Abraham as the Lord who provides. And that place has been called up to this day, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, my provider. So sometimes you gotta go through situations for God to reveal his nature and his character to you so that you can learn to depend and to trust in him. I'll give you one more example, then I move on to my second point. In Bethany, there is a gentleman who is unwell, sick to the point of death. His name is Lazarus. And because they know that Jesus is the healer, the sisters, Mary and Martha, they send a message to Jesus saying, please come home, come to our house because our brother, or they said, him whom you love is unwell and is about to die. But the Bible says Jesus did not go immediately. He took a little bit longer to the extent that Lazarus actually died. And then 4 days later after he was buried is when Jesus shows up. And when Jesus shows up, they begin to have a go at him. You know, we invited you, you didn't come and all those kind of things. And Jesus in his spirit, he gets disturbed and he says to them, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the wonders of God? But yes, they believed that Jesus could heal. They believed that he could deliver. But they had never seen the dimension of Jesus as the one who is able to raise the dead back to life. And then Jesus reveals himself to them. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he die, he shall live again. Show me where you have laid him. And so he went to the tomb. And he says, Lazarus, come out. Some of the things we go through are situations for a revelation. Because God wants to reveal himself to you. And he says, up to this extent, you've known me in this dimension. But I want to take you to another level in your relationship with me where you will know that I can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or imagine. Mother and Mary, you knew me as the healer, but I want you to know me as the one who is able to give life to the dead things. And Lazarus comes back to life. So God will reveal his name to us because he wants us to know his nature and character. And when we know the nature and character of God, then we can trust him and it is going to enable us to walk in obedience with him. Think about relationships. The Bible says, there's a verse in the book of Proverbs that says that a good name is better than sweet-smelling perfume. There are some people in your workplace you do not trust because of their name. When their name is mentioned, you think about people who are liars. You think about people who break their promises, people who can never keep their word. But there are some other people, when their name is mentioned, you know, it's like a bond. It's as good as done. Because if Victor says he will do it, then you know that he will do it. But there are some other people, if Victor says he will do it, because he did not do it yesterday, he did not do it last week, you have issues trusting him. Our God is not like that. Number two, God reveals his name because he wants us to be in a covenant relationship with him. Exodus chapter 6, verse 2 to verse 3. God spoke further to Moses and said to him, I am Yahweh. I'm going to read all the way to verse 8. I'm going to be reading some portions. God spoke further to Moses and said to him, I am Yahweh, and I appear to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, which is El Shaddai. But by my name Yahweh, I was not known to them. And I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land which he sojourned. Verse 5 says, furthermore, I have heard the groaning of the sons of Israel because the Egyptians are holding them in slavery and I have remembered my covenant. Verse 6, say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am Yahweh and I will bring you out from under the hard labors of the Egyptians and I will deliver you from their slavery. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Then I will take you for my people and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am Yahweh, your God, who brought you out from under the hard labors of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land which I sought to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give to you for your possession. I am Yahweh. So in other words, by revealing who he was, He established a covenant relationship with them. And this goes back to Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac and Jacob. Think about this. Abraham, he's a pagan. He doesn't know God. He is a moon worshiper living in the Ur of the Chaldeans. Has no relationship whatsoever with God. Then God appears to him and he calls him and he sends him on a journey. But all through this time, God has not revealed who he is. So Abraham is just walking by faith. But something very interesting happens in chapter 16 of Genesis that Sarah, Abraham's wife, sees that the promise of God is taking so long to be fulfilled. So he gets into an agreement with Abraham on how to get a child through the house girl or through the housemaid by the name of Hagar, and Ishmael is born. And when that happened, God, for a moment, let go of this situation. In fact, the Bible says when Abraham was torn on what to do about this child that has been born to the maidservant, God said to him, do as your wife says. That's what God says to him. Because I've spoken to you, you have not listened to me. Now, you are coming to me to ask me to do about this situation that you and your wife have created. In fact, God says to him, you do as your wife says. It got nothing to do with me. You do as your wife says. And then God is quiet for 13 good years. God says nothing. And then chapter 17, God says, this man, I've given him my promise. I've given him my word. And the Bible says he came to Abraham and he says, I am Jehovah El Shaddai. Be blameless before me. As in like, whatever has happened in the past has happened in the past. I'm going to deal with this situation. Don't worry about it. I've already made a promise to Hagar about the son. But henceforth, I am the Lord God Almighty. I am Jehovah El Shaddai. Walk blameless before me. Now, Jehovah El Shaddai, in Hebrew, it means the Lord God Almighty, the all-sufficient God, the God who is more than enough. In other words, he's saying, you are looking at your situation because you're childless and you think I am not able to make you the father of a nation. You are looking at yourself and seeing you got nothing that can be counted for in terms of earthly status. I am your all-sufficient God. I am your sufficiency. I am more than enough. I am everything you need in this situation. I am the Almighty God. What I say I will do, I will surely do. And then the next few verses, he changes his name from Abram to Abraham. He says, Abram means an exalted father. Abraham means the father of a nation. Why? Because right now you are looking at your situation and you're seeing there is nothing. In fact, at some point he tells God, stop giving me any promises because there is no one to inherit. So there is no heir to inherit these promises. But God says to him, I will make you the father of a great nation. Why? It is not so much about you, but it is because I am in a covenant relationship with you. I am the Almighty God. And he comes later on to Jacob and he reminds him, I am El Shaddai. I will make you fruitful in the land. So God therefore gets into a covenant relationship with his people based on his name. So El Shaddai conveys God's ability to fulfill his promises despite human limitations. It is a name, I hope you still got El Shaddai on the screen. It is a name that shows God's omnipotence and faithfulness and enables us to believe in his divine plan even when we cannot understand, because he is the Lord God who is more than enough. The Bible says God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that at all times, in everything, you may abound for every good work. So God is able to make all grace abound towards you. So El Shaddai reminds these people, I am in a relationship with you. And whatever happens now, the outworking of it is not about you. It is not about your mind, your intellect. It is not about your strength. It is not about your knowledge and your skills. It is about me being the Almighty God in your life. Praise the name of Jesus. But he says to Moses, to the nation of Israel then, the descendants after establishing my covenant to their patriarchs, I will reveal myself as Yahweh. And Yahweh here means the eternal God. It means the Lord who is unchanging, the immutable God. In fact, Yahweh is translated in English as the Lord. This name is so sacred to the Jews. They never used to pronounce it like we are pronouncing it. They never used to say it like we are saying it. It used to be whispered because it was a holy and revered name. In fact, they would rather say Adonai instead of saying Yahweh. But what God is saying to the nation of Israel, going forward, from now henceforth, I am your eternal God. I will always be with you. I will be your Lord. I'm unchanging. I am who I am in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So he reveals he's a covenant-keeping God, and he reveals that he's going to be forever with his people, reflecting his ongoing presence. So in the Abrahamic covenant, he's El Shaddai. In the Mosaic covenant, he is Yahweh. He is the Lord. He is the master. He is the ever-present God. And the same thing with us today. God wants to be in a relationship with you. How can you be in a relationship with someone whose name you don't know? I've never been to any of these online dating sites, but I hear interesting things happen there. What are they called? Match.com or Tinder or whatever? Now you are all looking at me so sanctimonious and holy. I know we're in church. I know we're in church, but I know you also know these things. But I hear that people do come up with fake identities and all these kind of things. What is it called? Catfishing or something? I don't know. I need to know a lot of this stuff, yeah? But how can you be in a relationship with someone who you don't know? And I'm not talking about the name they put on Tinder or the name they put on Match.com. I'm talking about the real them. And therefore, God wants to be in a covenant relationship with you. He says, I already know you by name. Now, I want you to know my name. And before I wind up, God also wants us to know his name because his name gives us boldness and authority. I've got something interesting on the screen there, something that just happened to come to my mind when I was preparing for this message. And it's about the British passport. I don't know how many of you have ever had a look at your British passport. And I was looking at this British passport the other day, and the words there struck me. It says, His Britannic Majesty's Secretary of State requests and requires in the name of His Majesty all those whom it may concern allow the bearer to pass freely without let or hindrance and to afford the bearer such assistance and protection as may be necessary. Now, I still got the old one, so mine says Her Majesty. It doesn't matter. It's one and the same thing. But the point here is this is an instruction by the Secretary of State on behalf of the reigning sovereign, the monarch, that you require in the name of the king to allow this person to pass. So when I present my passport at the border control, especially when going out, I am not presenting myself there in my name. I am giving them a document that has been given to me by an agent of the king in the king's name to allow that person to open the border for me to walk out. So I am not doing it in my authority. The name Victor cannot open even a fridge door. But the name of the king can open the borders. Because names have authority. Names confer power. Names confer victory in some situations. Philippians 2 verse 9 through to verse 10. The Bible says, therefore, I know from today henceforth you will look at your passport differently in Jesus' name. Mission accomplished. Okay, Philippians 2, 9 to verse 10. The Bible says, therefore, that's Jesus because of his humility and obedience, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. So when we pray and invoke the name of Jesus, we are not invoking, we are not going to pray in our own names. And we've sung that, the name of Jesus, because it is the name above every situation, name above all other names, name above every diagnosis, name above every condition, the name of Jesus. Whatever other name is exalted, the name of Jesus reigns supreme and above all that. Acts chapter 3, verse 6 to verse 8, the Bible says, and Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Those brothers who were with us during our Wednesday prayer meeting, we talked about Jesus lifting us up with our right hand. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he leaping up stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Because we don't do it in my name. Like I told you, the name of Victor cannot do much. But there is a name that I have, that I carry, the name of Jesus. That at the mention of his name, every knee will bow. So Peter and John say, I don't have gold, I don't have silver, I don't have much that I can give you. But one thing that I have is that I have a name. The name of Jesus. John 14, verse 13 to verse 14, the Bible says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name. So the question is, why does God want us to know his names so that we can have boldness and authority in our walk with him? John 16, 23, most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. So ignorance of the name of Jesus means you're not walking in power. It means you're not walking in authority. And God does not want you to approach him blindly. He wants you to go with confidence and with authority. Hallelujah. So the revelation of God's name is God's way of saying, I'm giving you authority in prayer. Call on me by my name. Call on me by my name, El Shaddai. Call on me by my name, the Prince of Peace. Call on me by my name, the Wonderful Counselor. Call on me by my name, the Mighty God. Call on me by my name, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you. Call on my name by Jehovah Nisi, the Lord your victory. We shall be looking at these as we go on. And lastly, God wants us to know his name because he wants his name to be glorified. Psalm 113, verse 2 to verse 3, the Bible says, may the name of Yahweh be blessed from now until forever. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of Yahweh is to be praised. So God wants his name to be glorified. Among all the other gods, there is no other God like our God. Capital G. So he wants his name to be glorified above every else. We can glorify Trump, we can glorify the king, we can glorify Keir Starmer or whoever else you want to glorify, but there is a name that must be glorified from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of our God. Malachi 1 and verse 11, the Bible says, for my name will be great among the nations. From where the sun rises to where it sets, in every place, incense and pure offerings will be presented in my name, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. So God wants us to know his name, that he may glorify it in the nations. We've seen the names of people. We've seen the names that are being glorified in the nations, the names of celebrities, the names of influencers. There is a name that needs to be glorified in the nations, the name of our God. Psalm 148 and verse 13, the Bible says, praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted and supreme. His glory and majesty are above the earth and the heaven. Praise the name of the Lord. When we gather here on a Sunday morning, it is to glorify and to praise the name of the Lord for no other reason other than that his name is mighty, his name is higher, his name is powerful. His name is himself. He is not the Jehovah Rapha, the healer. He is healing. He is not just Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He is your provision. He is your providence. He is love. He is your grace. He is your mercy. So when we praise his name, we are praising him. I want to conclude by Matthew 16 and verse 15, which is also found in Mark 8 and verse 29. Jesus asks the disciples, "Who do you say I am?" So I want you to just close your eyes and reflect for a moment. And I want to ask you, who do you say God is? Who is God to you? Because your revelation, your understanding of God will determine how you relate with him. If you think that he's just like any other person in your neighborhood, that is how you will relate with him. If you think that he's an almighty, all-powerful, eternal, mighty God, then you're going to relate with him from that revelation, knowing that he is unlimited. He is all-powerful. He is able to do that which no man can do. And God is inviting us to a personal, covenantal relationship with him through the knowledge of his name. So in the next few weeks or several weeks, maybe leading up to almost Christmas time, as we unpack and unpackage these names of God, I want you to come with a heart of expectation, saying that, Lord, I worship you. I glorify you by your name, Jehovah, because this is who you are to me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning because of this short introduction to your names. We know that, God, you will reveal to us who you are, that you may have a richer and a deeper understanding of your nature and character, that we may learn to trust in you, that we may learn how to walk in a covenant relationship with you, in obedience with you, that, Lord, we may also know how to walk in boldness and in authority. And also, God, that we may have a revelation of our worship. That our worship is not because of where we are or because of our circumstances, but because of who you are and not just what you've done. Because you do what you do because of who you are. I pray for that revelation in our spirits right now in Jesus' name. And as we close our eyes, I want us to call on the name of Jesus this morning. His name is powerful. His name is mighty to save. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. So whatever situation you are in right now, we are going to call upon the name of Jesus. The name above all other names. That at the mention of this name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confesses. Jesus asks, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter responds and says, "You are the Christ, the one who's come from the Father." Jesus says, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven." So in whatever situation you are in right now, I pray for the revelation of God. The revelation of God as your provider, the revelation of God as your healer, the revelation of God as your deliverer, the revelation of God as your shalom, your peace, your joy in the name of Jesus. The revelation of God as your sufficiency in your inadequacy. He is all that you need. The revelation of God as Jehovah Shammah, as we heard last Sunday from Andrew, the Lord who is there. His name is Emmanuel, God together with us. And Father God, we thank you. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every situation. I pray for every condition and about every condition. And I pray that your name may be glorified in the name of Jesus. Heal the sick. Deliver the captives. Your name is the Lord who breaks through. Baal Perazim is your name. And therefore, God, we speak breakthrough because you are the Lord God of breakthrough. in the name of Jesus. You are the door, the Bible says. So, Father, we pray for open doors in Jesus' name. We glorify you for every situation that defies man, that, Lord, you may intervene in the name of Jesus. We pray for healing of incurable diseases right now in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, for intervention in family relationships and matters in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for job situations, for work situations, for business situations. We thank you, God, because you are intervening right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And even upon our spirits, oh God, reveal yourself to us. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.